Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, though, nearly one in five small private nursing homes closed over a 2.5 year period, mainly in rural areas as inflation outpaced the increases in Fair Deal funding. Well, a new ESRI report has found that larger operators are now the dominant providers of nursing home care in Ireland since the COVID-19 pandemic. So what will this growing reliance on a smaller number of profit-driven operators mean for the sector and for the long-term care system for older people? Joining me for more on this is Professor Des O'Neill, consultant geriatrician at Talla University Hospital, and also Conor McNulty of Marymount Care Home in Lucan. First, Professor O'Neill, to you, and thank you for taking our call this morning. What's your reaction to that report about the number of closures that there have been over a 2.5 year period?
Thanks very much. Yeah, there's a number of issues from this report, but I suppose the most worrying in some ways was the closure of almost 700 public nursing home beds. The Sláintecare report identified that we have a real problem in Ireland in over-reliance on the private sector. The international literature on nursing home really suggests that it's important to grow the not-for-profit and public sector. And the Sláintecare made a recommendation to provide a rebalancing towards more public and not-for-profit, and we see the exact opposite happening.
So just to be clear, you're agnostic about whether it is a very large operator or a smaller family-run nursing home. It's the fact that it's private that you say is an issue.
I think it's the fact that we don't have a vision for what nursing home care should be. I think that the area has been neglected by successive ministers for health and ministers for older people. And in this vacuum of policy of setting out what it should be, has stepped in the major providers. And there is serious concern that there hasn't been set up a vision of how it should be run, how it should be provided, how, for example, terms and conditions for staff should be so that it attracts staff and has career progression. Also, a real concern around a private sector is a lack of any form of a handle on what's known as clinical governance, i.e. the management of medical and nursing care. There is no mechanism for ensuring that this is in place. It's not part of HICWA's oversight clinical governance. So we really need to step back, and maybe the Commission for Care would focus on this. But also the development of large nursing homes is of concern. We know from COVID that the nursing home sizes that did worst were the large and the small ones. And a spark of hope is a new Department of Health document open for consultation at the moment, positioning that the maximum size should be 72 beds with 6 units of domestically scaled of 12 beds. So what we're lacking, as I say, is a vision of how it should be provided. Leaving it to HICWA is not good enough. Now, obviously, there are examples of very good practice within the private sector, but the problem is the consistency is not clearly there. And we've left ourselves hostage in many ways. And what we see, what these large players can see, is a fairly steady flow of cash from the government and a relatively light regulatory system from the point of view of the vision of the clinical governance.
Mm-hmm. That's what you say HICWA is. Is that what you're saying? Light governance?
Yeah,
because they are the independent regulators here.
There's areas that they don't cover. And the degree of control of the Department of Health and the HSE over clinical governance, for example, and for a broader vision of, you know, what the size should be, how they should be structured in terms of space and in terms of the ability to flourish, in terms of the services that are provided. This has been a constant bugbear of the Fair Deal scheme. And I think one of the useless cul-de-sacs here is the issue of is focusing entirely on funding. And actually, what we should be doing is looking at what should be the terms and conditions for staff across the sector, both public and private, what should be the vision for the appropriate level of care, mm-hmm. for the appropriate level of access and independence. I mean, one of the really worrying things in this area here, and the general public need to get on board as well here, is the Ombudsman did a report on younger people in nursing home called Wasted Lives, and talked about, you know, lacks of independence and decision making and opportunities for growth, completely ignoring the fact the same thing applied to over 20,000 older Irish people.
Right. Well, let's hear now from Conor McNulty, yep. Owner of Marymount Care Home in Lucan. Conor, good morning to you. I know your place is relatively large, but the issues facing all independent family-run nursing home operators are fairly similar. Will you just outline what they are?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I suppose, look, first thing I would say is I don't want to get into the public versus private argument that Professor O'Neill is referring to there, because he knows us. We're here 35 years. We're a family-run business, and I would attest to the fact that our clinical governance is excellent, as it is for the majority of family-run and private nursing homes in the country. And I suppose if you wanted to make an argument to the fact that HICWA inspect both private and public, and I can assure you that the public don't do any better than they do in the private. But anyway, in terms of the closures of nursing homes, and I suppose there's a bit of a contradiction there from Professor O'Neill in terms of funding versus staffing and looking after staff and rates of pay, etc. There are four fundamental challenges I feel for any nursing home, be it 30-bedded, 40-bedded or above, is the staff turnover. If I can give you an example, 30 to 40% turnover in our sector has happened in the last year of changeover of staff, 80% of which go to the HSC. And why is that? Because they're able to attract and retain staff more because of the fact that there's a funding model that is completely different. There's a public service pay deal that's under negotiation at the moment. So we can assume that there's going to be a 5 or 6% increase for HCAs, that's healthcare assistants, within the public sector. Now, if we're genuinely serious about protecting and having the choice of family-run nursing homes being sustainable and remaining in the sector, we have to recognise that, and we also have to give similar equivalent funding to allow us to compete and to match that.
So you can't do that?
No. For example, in the last 2 years alone, our costs have gone up by 20%, but the fair deal has increased by 5%. So you're basically saying, look, how are you going to be able to retain staff into the future? Which is the key thing, because anyone will say, and I know Professor O'Neill will agree with me on this, continuity of good quality staff is the key thing. Ensuring that you have well-educated, trained and competent people that remain within your service, who provide that service day on day with your residents, who know them very well, mm-hmm. and knowing that they're going to be here this time next year and the year after, yeah. they have to be rewarded for that time and for their efforts.
Conor, what is the impact of these large multinational companies coming into the nursing home sector here in Ireland?
Well, the first thing I'd say about that is the consolidation is an effect, it's not the cause. What that means is that basically the larger scale group nursing homes, and I don't want to, this is not a negative spin on the larger nursing homes, but their scale allows them to negotiate differently with the HSC. What does that mean? It means that they can negotiate for contracted beds, step-down beds and so on. That makes up, you know, a significant amount of funding that allows them to, I suppose, to grow and to develop it within the sector. But to be honest with you, you would get a different answer from the groups today than you would have got 5 years ago. And why is that? Is because they also are finding, because it is fund-driven, that basically it's not the same market as it was 5 or 6 years ago. We're in operation 35 years. It's more difficult now than it has ever been before. And that's because the funding model, the costs, etc., are completely different. I don't want to get bogged down in the differences between private and public, because we all know that's been well spoken about in terms of the differences. And I know, you know, the argument is that, you know, the HSC look after more dependent people, which I would argue, because there is no common assessment tool. I'm sure the professor would agree. It would be very good to have a cost of care model that is dependency rated. In other words, like the inter-rate, something that says, you know what, if this person needs higher dependency care, then the funding should follow the resident, as mm-hmm. opposed to a blanket negotiated rate, which is 2 or 3% per annum at best, which does not reflect the true cost of care.
Okay, so Des, to bring you back in on this, and Conor has explained how things have changed so much, but the funding model has more or less stood still.
But can I say to you, we actually need to go back a few steps beyond that. And I think in the contracting model is to set terms and conditions for the staff that are comparable across the sector. So without doing that, what has happened is, as Conor has described, people doing economies of scale that are actually counterproductive in the end towards good resident care. So I think it's around recalibrating the whole sector to say there should be a standardisation of pay and conditions. And if that element requires, government support, rather than just talking about block funding. I agree entirely on a common assessment. Unfortunately, the HSE have made a terrible mess of implementation of what's called Interrail, which has been agreed since over 10 years ago, and it's a cause of immense frustration across the sector that there isn't a common assessment. On the closure of the smaller homes, I think there's a number of factors there. At the very beginning, there was a certain amount of leeching towards other forms of commercial activity, which I think now has stopped. There is also, there had been oversupply in some areas when prospectus looked at nursing home distribution across Ireland maybe about 15 to 20 years ago. But one of the big questions is, why is the HSE not selectively taking over some of these, implementing this launch of care, and right-sizing the proportion between public, voluntary and private? And I think it's important, you know, to step back, and I sympathise with the operators that if the contract does not specify appropriate terms and conditions for staff, then they're left in a bind. And that has to be part of any new revisioning of long-term care.
Conor, can you answer that question? Why is the HSE not stepping in when faced with some of these closures of the smaller nursing homes?
Because they can't afford to.
So they're leaving it to the larger multinationals to do the job?
Yeah, because, and again, I don't want to get bogged down on this, but if a HSE went into a 30 or 40 bedded nursing home tomorrow, the first thing they'd be looking for is additional funding, which is not available under the Fair Deal scheme. And that is the absolute truth, and that's the reality. Can I just add to that as well? There are three or four other things. The staff turnover, as I mentioned earlier, is a huge challenge. And I agree with Professor O'Neill. It needs to be ring-fenced. It needs to allow for the fact that to retain your staff is the key, most important thing, is ensuring that your staff are rewarded and it is an attractive career path where there are opportunities within that. And that has to be reflected in any cost model going forward. The other thing that's not been talked about, and I talk about the smaller nursing homes, is the succession. So you have first or second generation families that are running nursing homes, 30 or 40 bedded nursing homes, the length and breadth of the country, whose next generation are no more interested in taking over this business because of the challenges that they pose. That results in one of two options: sell or close.
Okay. All right. Listen, I have to leave it there. Sure, we'll come back to it again, though, because it concerns most, if not all, families in this country. Professor Des O'Neill and Conor McNulty, thank you for joining us on the programme. Coming up next, we're staying with the theme because we're going to hear about the latest trolley figures and the impact of the lack of step-down beds across the country.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.